joining us on the line. I'd like to welcome to the program again Senator Linda Wilson from the 17th Legislative District. Senator Wilson represents areas of Camas, Washougal, Skamania County, also parts of Vancouver and rural Clark County. Senator Wilson, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for asking.
So recently, we know that the governor and other members of the majority party have been waging a war on fossil fuels. This is no secret to anyone. And recently, in their crosshairs came natural gas. The Building Code Council first decided they were going to ban natural gas in commercial and I believe multifamily, like apartments in any new construction there. And then recently they said, well, you know, we're just going to apply that to residential as well. It is another attempt to circumvent and around the state legislature when it comes to imposing restrictions that can have a significant impact upon not just residents of the state, but businesses as well. So talk to us, Senator Wilson, first about what your thoughts were on the Building Code Council's actions, and then what you have pre-filed to respond.
Well, so I've been on the member or the state building code council for a couple of years. It was used to be kind of an obscure council, right? Nobody was really paying much attention to it. And this is my area of our family business is in construction, right? We're kitchen cabinet manufacturer, and so all of these kind of things interest me for construction industry and building industry and all that. And so I started paying attention to what was going on. I asked to be put on the Building Code Council, and you know, it's an unelected, unaccountable council, right? This is all these people are appointed by the governor, and so I started listening to, you know, attending the meetings. And these meetings are not short; they're very long meetings, and once a month usually. And started watching what they were doing, and then again, like you said, they were beginning to determining that they were going to ban natural gas in commercial buildings, and then the next was residential. And the thing is, there is no statutory authority allowing the Building Code Council to eliminate any source of energy, especially one that's as significant as this is, you know, from the use of the people of Washington. So. And I argued that point over and over again, that there is no statute. There was a bill a couple of years ago, but the bill did not pass. So their response is, well, what was the intent of the legislature? And I said, well, if the legislature intended that, then the bill would have passed. We know what we need to do in order to intend to do something, and we didn't do it. And so that was my argument all along, and it got closer and closer to the vote on this. And so I wound up getting 21 senators a letter to the Building Code Council stating that no, this wasn't the intent of the legislature, that we did not agree with this, and sent that. But, you know, this all just they just gloss over it. They don't really pay any attention to any of this, nor the fact that they kept saying that it wasn't going to cost more money to heat homes doing this, and that isn't the case. Their own independent third-party economic analysis that was required prior to this vote, which basically only got 10 days to do it, but that was even enough time to determine that this proposal was not cost-effective and it would increase the cost of heating. Again, they just glossed over it.
Senator Wilson, it is worth noting that leading up to this vote, the governor had made a number of appointments to the Building Code Council, a number of new appointments to the Building Code Council that certainly seemed to have weighted in favor of voting in the manner the governor wanted to see. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, that would be a fair assessment. In fact, there were a couple of appointments that there was litigation on because he was supposed to choose from a couple of from people on a list that was submitted by the building industry and didn't do that and appointed them anyway. And then they were sued. He was sued, and then they didn't go to court or anything, but they had an agreement that they would remove them after the vote. So he got it. He got his way anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it does a lot of good to remove them after the vote.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. So it was So, and in a commercial setting, if they had 2/3, then it wouldn't go back to the legislature. If it was less than 2/3, then this would go back to the legislature. And I was actually appalled by a statement of one of the members that said, we don't want this to go back to the legislature. They might do something that we don't like.
Now,
wow. Senator, I wasn't going to say anything. And then I went, okay, I'm saying something here because, oh, my God, right?
Sure. Absolutely. So, yeah. Senator, tell us a little bit about your bill that you've pre-filed already to address this situation, because after the Building Code Council made their rulings, there was significant response from both sides of the mountains, from those that are in construction, from those in building trades, from those, I mean, real estate, right. Just all around talking about how bad of a ruling this was going to be for the state.
Right. It was, well, even in testimony in the Building Code Council, there were more against it than there were for it. Significant more people against this. So that's the reason why we have public comment in these forums. So what I decided to do was to create a bill that says that Washington State Energy Code may not prohibit the use of natural gas in buildings. This is a significant source of energy, and the state has no plan to subsidize this. I shouldn't say subsidize, to bring other energy sources in to cover the loss of this gas energy that we are using all the time. We have 1.2 million people in the state that use natural gas for heating their homes right now. And then, but what they are doing is not allowing anybody to heat their homes or the water in their homes by natural gas. So, and particularly of people on the eastern side of the state, right? Because heat pumps don't work well in the eastern side of the state. And so they all have to come up with another supplemental heat source during the cold periods of time that adds more upfront cost to eastern Washington residents as well.
And if I recall correctly, Senator, one of the largest retailers in the state also uses a significant amount of natural gas, and that would be Costco.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure. I mean, businesses do because it's efficient. And, I mean, we have a lot of people that use natural gas because it is efficient and it is still a fairly clean source.
We're talking
about... You know, the thing is, with all of this happening, and the grid is not prepared to eliminate any significant source of energy. And as it is right now, they have no plans for any transmission lines that they will have to have in order to move any sources of energy, particularly the ones that they want, right, solar and wind. And it takes about 10 to 20 years in order for them to get up new transmission lines. And then with this workforce that we have right now, we need linemen, and then they can't find enough people for linemen, and then it takes years for them to do training on this. So there's a lot of hindrances here that could, you know, this isn't a good idea.
We're talking with Senator Linda Wilson from the 17th District here on The Bottom Line. Senator Wilson represents parts of rural Clark County, Vancouver, Skamania County, Camas, Washougal, and a number of other cities in that area.
You know, Senator, you kind of answered my question. You were mentioning, I was going to ask, was there any plan to offset this? But apparently it sounds like they're just going to turn off the gas pipeline. And I guess people are going to have to get some sort of a portable generator or something. But, you know, one of the things that I think of, too, besides Costco, you have quite a number of, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of fast food restaurants and other places that utilize natural gas. So, you know, it appears so basically nothing has been put forth by the building council or anybody else. Okay, we turn off natural gas, we're going to replace it with blank. Apparently there is no plan on the table of how to replace it.
No, and we brought that up over and over again in the Building Code Council meetings as mm-hmm. well. There is no plan to replace any of this. And look what they're talking about hydropower, right? They're talking about breaching four dams on mm-hmm. Snake River, which they have no plans to replace either. Yeah, and, you know, we've been pushing nuclear power for quite some time, mm-hmm. and looks like he's kind of coming around to the idea, but up until this point, the small nuclear reactors were not even a consideration.
Yeah.
So, no. And, you know, we're following the path of California. And so, you know, it wasn't that long ago in the summer when they started having worried about blackouts and brownouts, which Inslee has already indicated, he's predicted that we're going to have them. He's already said that. But when, and then our push to for EV, electric vehicles, the push for that. So you're going to have something that's going to replace all of these power sources that they want to get rid of or reduce, like hydropower, now, which is our cheapest form of power.
Senator Wilson, we know that there's going to be a battle over this, certainly in this coming session, but we also know there's other priorities as well, particularly that Senate Republicans are putting forward. In the few minutes that we have left, if you wouldn't mind addressing some of those for our audience so they know what they can expect to hear from the Republican caucus in the Senate coming up in the next month or so.
Well, we have three ideas that we would like to push forth, which is really about the same that we had last year. Public safety. So we're all concerned about, the violence and all that that has expanded dramatically during COVID and was going higher even before that. So we need to be looking at like some of the police bills that are causing problems, like the vehicular pursuits. We know how criminals are getting around that, making crime even worse. We know that there's going to be a Blake fix. So the hard drugs being legalized, and so we know we need to have a fix on that. Affordability, you know, there's the long-term care tax that's going to be put into going into effect this next year. We are actually asking to repeal it. We would rather work with the private markets and support that rather than having something like this that won't do what they say it's going to do anyway. It's not cost effective and it's underwater already, and it's not a good program. We're looking at education because there was so much the education gap during the COVID. It was also going down, but at least at this point in the governor's budget, there's only 43% of the budget going toward education. And back when we were in control, back in 2017, it was about 50%. And right now, we really need to pay attention to what's going on to the education, a special education, and then the learning loss that all of our kids have seen during this pandemic. And I mean, when I talk to superintendents of schools, these superintendents are concerned about the progression of students. So they're all regressing by about 2 years, and so they're really concerned about that. And so, but there was so much learning loss that we really need to be looking at that as well. So lots of different things in those categories: public safety, affordability, and education.
We're talking with Senator Linda Wilson from the 17th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line. Senator Wilson, a quick final thought on the governor's lack of desire to provide broad-based tax relief to any class of people in Washington State and his ask for a $4 billion bond to build affordable housing around the state. Is that bond something that is likely to come to pass, or is this something that we should maybe not bank on just yet?
Well, I would say we wouldn't bank on that just yet. It's his idea, but I don't know that it's going to get all the way through the legislature, even with Democrats. But we can't keep throwing money at this problem when that isn't working. I mean, our homelessness problem right now is it's growing faster. It's not getting better. We've already thrown billions and billions of dollars at this problem, and it's growing faster, not only growing faster, but faster than any other state in the nation. So money isn't the answer. We've got to figure out, there's a whole lot of a litany of things that we need to do to help these people, but also make them responsible for, you know, their own. There's so many of them that are on drugs or have mental illnesses that they cannot make their own decisions for them. So we need to help them along with that. There should be opportunities. The Blake decision kind of took that all away from us, not be able to do that. So there's a lot of issues here, and I'm not sure that he's going to be able to make the case.
Senator Linda Wilson from the 17th District, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Senator, and hopefully we'll catch up with you over the course of the session.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.